It's a trap!
Hello and welcome to episode number 120 of Radio TCX,
your weekly source for X-Wing news and strategy.
I'm Tim Dugan.
And I'm Carson Ray. And luckily this week we get to still keep talking about X-Wing 2nd Edition and Scum and Villainy.
Our conversation this week is going to be focused around the recently announced Scum and Villainy YT-1300 expansion known as the Lando's Millennium Falcon expansion. And this is actually really interesting because this is the first expansion exclusive to 2nd Edition that we're not going to see over in 1st Edition.
Yeah, so we know that this expansion will have that mid-September release, the same as all the other 2nd Edition release expansions.
Yes, and the Scum variant of the YT-1300 looks like it's going to be quite a bit different than the Rebel version, so we've got a whole lot to talk about today.
Yeah, we only have time for 12 parsecs, so let's get right to it.
And before we dive into our conversation here, in case you're worried about spoilers in this episode for the Solo movie, which I would actually very much recommend you seeing, I had a really fun time seeing it, we're not going to have any major spoilers in this episode, just the character names that appeared in the film.
Yeah, it's a fun movie and definitely makes me excited to put this ship on the table. I haven't been the biggest fan of the Millennium Falcon from a gameplay perspective, but Scum Falcon, maybe I can get behind.
We already have details on what the Millennium Falcon is going to look like in the Rebel faction. We talked about that a little bit in our preview for the Rebel conversion kits there. That Rebel variant is going to have a very similar stat line to what we saw in the first edition of the game, but this Scum variant of the YT-1300 is actually looking to be very different. Obviously, it's called Lando's Millennium Falcon, kind of representing what the ship was before it came into the possession of Han Solo, and we're seeing some key differences here between the Scum variant of the ship and Han Solo's variant.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty big jump from 3 attack dice down to 2. I mean, in general, that's the main distinction between ships. Are they low attack dice ships, or do they have that powerful 3 attack dice gun?
Yeah, the weapon value of a ship actually determines a lot about its role and application in a list, and I think it's also going to affect its cost a whole lot, because there is a pretty steep jump we've learned from 1st Edition X-Wing, a pretty steep jump from 2 attack dice into 3 attack dice, even more so than it, you know, the 3 to 4 range, and that's really going to impact its damage output there. So just at the baseline, even though these have similar functioning primary weapons, both of these ships have that split arc there, so you either have your front and rear arcs active or your left and right arcs active. Having that different weapon value, I think, is right away going to set these ships apart between Lando's Falcon and Han's Falcon.
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting. In the first edition, we had the Outer Rim Smuggler pilot that had 2 attack dice, and then all the named characters had that Millennium Falcon upgrade to 3 attack dice. So now we're seeing that the Scum Falcon is, you know, you're just smuggler ship with 2 attack dice, and the Rebels get the Fancy Falcon with 3 attack dice. And those ships played very different roles. You know, your 2 attack dice large base ships are often much more blocking ships used to impede your opponent's maneuvers and perhaps also deal out some control effects, or perhaps provide some support abilities to your other ships who are dealing the damage, versus throwing all of your damage modification and defense modification upgrades on one big ship to, you know, get a lot out of your one attack and stay alive as long as you can.
And right now we don't know much about what control ability options the ship is going to have access to, or, I mean, the upgrade cards that can go here. We know we have access to that rigged cargo chute, illicit upgrade, which functions the same way it did in the first edition. You get to drop basically a debris cloud. But beyond that, we don't have a lot of great ideas on what the control effects for Scum are going to be in terms of upgrade cards. But my gut feeling right now is that this ship is going to be less focused on offense and more focused on, I would suspect, maybe maneuverability. Lando Calrissian, of course, is a smuggler, so that would make a lot of sense. And then, yeah, having those kind of real Scum and Villainy effects there, control abilities, or maybe even some support abilities for your other Scum ships.
Yeah, honestly, I'm kind of really hoping for some support abilities. Scum have a lot of great options in control right now. I think they could use maybe a little bit more support.
One feature of Lando's Falcon that is distinctly different than the Rebel variant is that it has access to a docked escape craft. And based on Fantasy Flight's spoiler article for this expansion, we know that this ship is actually going to have a detachable model that's going to go on the ship there. And we've seen actually a pilot card for that little escape craft.
Yeah, I think it's really cool to have the detachable model I'm going to have to convert my Ghost and probably YV666 so that all these new docked ships can go on and off throughout the game. And it's cool that they're building that into Lando's Millennium Falcon. Be able to have your docked ship leave and then come back, perhaps. I think that's really cool to be able to represent that game state with the models.
And I think this docked escape craft is an area we're going to have to speculate for a little while here, since we don't actually even see the full pilot card there. Obviously, we know it can dock in the craft there. It's featured on the quick build card as being featured with one of the pilots. Beyond that, we only have a few sparse details about what this is going to do on the ship.
Yeah, I mean, we can tell that the dock ship does have a ship ability, and it looks like the design is set up more like the Ghost than the YV666, where the docked ship is going to provide some benefit to the ship it's docked on, which is cool. I mean, the Ghost and Phantom mechanic is very cool and nuanced. A lot of different ways you can kit those out, and I think players really enjoy the list building challenge it presents. So I think that's cool to see more ships take that role. Now we just need the Decimator to be able to dock a ship.
Beyond the decreased weapon value on Lando's Falcon, we also see that its shield value drops a little bit. It's still got that hull value of 8, but it's dropped down to just 3 shields. So it's a little bit leaner on hit points. And this is an interesting feature, too. Again, looking back at first edition and that Outer Rim Smuggler generic Falcon, that instance was one of the only times in first edition X-Wing where we saw an actual stat line change to an existing ship. This is a little bit of a different case because they're even classifying this ship differently on its pilot cards. The Rebel variant of the Falcon is called a modified YT-1300, whereas Lando's Millennium Falcon is called a customized YT-1300. So I guess they are classifying.
It's a big difference there.
Yeah, it seems like they're just trying to classify them a little bit differently. We do know that Lando's Falcon can't take the Rebel Millennium Falcon title, since that one is specifically for the Rebel faction and for the modified Millennium Falcon. So it's not going to be able to get access to that evade and then bonus ability from that Falcon title. It is going to have its own Lando's Millennium Falcon config, but we don't know what that ability is yet.
Yeah, I mean, overall, this ship is very reminiscent of that Outer Rim Smuggler. It's got the lower attack value. It has 11 hit points instead of 10, which the Outer Rim Smuggler has, which honestly, really appreciate getting at least one more extra hit point when you have just one agility. You need as many hit points as you can get. But that Outer Rim Smuggler was costed significantly cheaper than its other named pilots. So I think we can expect this customized YT-1300 or Scum Millennium Falcon to be, you know, at least a decent amount cheaper than its Rebel equivalent. We, you know, don't really know too much about points, but I think that's a safe bet just based off the information we have. I mean, obviously you don't want to pay the same amount of points if one ship has 2 attack dice and fewer hit points than the other ship.
But by the same stretch of the imagination, I'm also wondering if there's going to be a way to increase the weapon value on this ship, or if it's going to have access to some kind of secondary weapons. Looking at the Lando pilot ability, which reads, after you roll dice, if you are not stressed, you may gain 1 stress token to reroll all of your blank results. Honestly, that ability on a 1 agility, 2 attack dice ship seems pretty bad. You know, at most, you're rerolling 2 dice. I'm guessing there's got to be some way to increase either the weapon value or the defense of this ship, don't you think?
Yeah, I would hope so. I mean, especially, you know, we also know that there's a named Han. I just think, you know, of a big attack when I think of Han flying a ship. So it'd feel a little disappointing and not quite like these big named characters like Han Solo and Lando Calrissian, you know, firing 2 dice attacks. I do really like the mechanics of the design of Lando's pilot ability, where, you know, you get a powerful modification, you know, being able to reroll blank results and multiple blank results if you have a big enough dice pool. But it is something you can really only do once a turn because you're going to get that stress token to mark it. And it is something, you know, opponents can play around if they have any control effects or you do a red maneuver, and then you are going to turn that ability off. But if you play it right, you can get some really good modification. I think that's really cool.
With regards to increasing the weapon value or offense or defense here, obviously we don't know what that Lando's Falcon title is going to do. They do have some options here. This ship does have a gunnery slot, as evidenced by the fact that it comes with a Han Solo gunnery upgrade card. So there are some options there where it could get increased weapon values. I'm wondering if they're going to do something more along like a limited weapon application, kind of like what we see with the Hawk 290, where you have the Moldy Crow title, which gives the ship a better weapon value, but it's set to a certain arc. maybe we'll see some ability like that where it has an increased way to do damage, but it's limited in its scope. Not just going to have that access to that full split turret.
Right. And I mean, we saw the Ghost with the dock ship also gave ways to up its attack output. So perhaps there's, within having the dock ship and mechanic there. We don't really know too much about the ship at this point, but it seems pretty exciting and definitely very different than its Rebel equivalent.
One cool feature for the Scum faction is that the top pilot for this ship, which is of course Han Solo still, even in Lando's Falcon, comes in at initiative 6, which is a really high initiative, especially for the Scum and Villainy faction, which typically, historically, has not had the highest pilot skills.
Yeah, and after Talon Bane Cobra got demoted, they were looking for someone to fill the vacancy. And I think Han Solo is a pretty great choice. So I'm definitely excited to try that out.
So one thing I find really interesting about seeing a pretty substantial variant of an existing ship we know is it kind of makes me look forward to the future of the game. We know that the initial release of Second Edition is just going to feature 3 factions, the Rebel Alliance, the Galactic Empire, and Scum and Villainy. But we know there are going to be 5 total factions in this game. The Wave 2 content is going to come along with faction kits for the First Order and the Resistance, which makes me think, now that we've seen a Scum and Villainy Falcon here, maybe we'll see a Millennium Falcon in the Resistance that's a substantial variant on the existing Falcon we know.
Yeah, I mean, do you think the Resistance Falcon is better than the Rebellion Falcon? In my opinion, I think it peaked at the Rebellion. I think at the point of episode 7 and 8, it's seen some better days.
Yeah, but now we have the opportunity for a sweet upgrade card themed along that awesome new rectangular radar dish from the newer movies. Hey, Radio TCX listeners, time for a quick Patreon update. We're ready to announce our June raffle winners. This month, we're giving away 3 sets of 5 acrylic focus tokens. These tokens are produced by Applied Perspective, and they're really high quality and are going to look great in your First Edition or Second Edition games. Winning these sets of acrylic focus tokens are Zachary Rivers from Minnesota, Robert Coleman from Louisiana, and Patrick Riley from Colorado. Congratulations, guys. Hope you like your new tokens. If you'd like to support the podcast and be eligible for our raffles, please go on to patreon.com/radioTCX and become a patron of the show today. Carson and I are looking to refresh our rewards for the Patreon page, so stay tuned for more news on that in the next couple months. All right, now back to the podcast. We also got a handful of new upgrade cards spoiled in this expansion.
Yeah, so we see a Han Solo gunnery upgrade card that is scum only that reads, before you engage, you may perform a red focus action.
So I really like the design of this card a lot. It's really simple, but it's very powerful.
Yeah, and it does have a range on how powerful it is. I think it does really depend on the initiative of the pilot you're using it on. I mean, obviously, regardless, you'll be able to use that focus on offense to modify your attack, but I think you also want that option to use the focus on defense, which means you're going to want to be activating earlier.
Well, and the timing window here is what makes it really interesting, because just having a linked action would be a pretty powerful ability. Ships that can get multiple actions in a round are a lot less common in Second Edition, and being able to link into an action, even a red action, is pretty powerful, especially something as versatile as a focus token. But the fact that you're doing this before engagement gives you a lot of versatility and options. The first being that you don't actually have to commit to doing the action until you've engaged and you have a better idea of what ships are going to be in range or if any ships are going to be in range at all.
Right, and it also does definitely give you those options to, acquire the target lock for your action, and then, before you fire your munition, get that focus for extra modification, making sure that munition connects. And I like that you don't have to, take that stress to get the really modified attack until you know you're going to have that attack.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest perk here, is that being able to do that before you engage is you can decide if you want to take that stress token and really limit your dial options the next round. You'll have a much better idea going into combat of whether or not that's going to be a worthwhile effort. Whereas if this was something that was happening in the activation phase, you'd have to commit to that before possibly all the ships had moved.
Now, see, that's interesting, because I think the best part of this card is its applications on defense. Focus token is great defensive modification, but only on the right ship. And I think ships that are going to have access to the gunnery upgrade slot might not be the most defense-oriented ships. But, if there's anything that can boost this Falcon's green dice pool, I mean, we know Lando's pilot ability is going to reroll blanks, so you'll have a better chance of getting focus results. And so, I mean, using those focuses on defense, it's going to make those 11 hit points last a lot longer.
It's also really cool to see these really powerful upgrade abilities on iconic character cards. I just like that aesthetically because you're more likely to see these cards in any kind of play where, you know, people want to fly Han Solo on a ship, whether he's the pilot or not. So having these abilities that people are going to want to use on iconic cards, I think, really helps the aesthetics of the game. We were getting to a point in first edition there where a lot of the most powerful upgrade cards were characters a lot of people hadn't heard of, at least, you know, in the more casual Star Wars fan base.
Yeah, in general, it's just really great. Of course, the big exception is Luke Crew. He's the worst, but we'll move on. Tobias Beckett does also seem really cool.
Tobias Beckett, of course, a new character from the Solo movie, comes with a different kind of ability here, one that doesn't happen in engagement. It actually happens during setup.
Yeah, so this scum-only crew reads, setup. After placing forces, you may choose one obstacle in the play area. If you do, place it anywhere in the play area beyond range 2 of any board edge or ship, and beyond range 1 of other obstacles. So you still have to follow the same rules for deploying asteroids, but you do get to move one.
Yeah, I like here that we have the setup keyword, too, included on the card. I'm expecting that to be a more common thing here. We had abilities like this in first edition that affected setup, but it's interesting to see that now it's kind of a mechanic that we're going to see more commonly, I presume. I'm a little wary of how effective this ability is going to be, at least in a competitive game. It's really cool thematically, and it very much a scum and villainy ability there. After everything's set up, you go ahead and change something. Fits right in with the faction identity I'd hope to see. But it's got some pretty stringent limitations on it as to where you can put that obstacle after setup.
Yeah, this is a weird one. I mean, if I could put a rock right in front of my opponent's ships, that sounds a little bit more enticing. I mean, so in this vein, you really get to set up 4 of the 6 obstacles for a game, which, you know, is appealing. And I'm of the opinion that the obstacles play a very large role in the game.
Unless you're Dash.
Yeah, unless you cheat. So I like this from that perspective. I don't want to pay too many points for this ability. I think this would be a very interesting, like, 1-point crew option.
It is taking up that crew slot, which in first edition was one of the most valuable slots you could have on a ship. Now that we also have the gunnery slot there, I'm not exactly sure where the power level of the crew slot or its significance is on a ship. Maybe they'll be more common, maybe they'll be less common. But yeah, you definitely don't want to pay too many points for an ability like this, where you're really only getting the one payoff at setup, and it might not really deliver at all. If your opponent's able to maneuver around wherever you deploy that obstacle, pretty much you've got those points exhausted and spent right away.
Yeah, I mean, you really have to make that rock count. I honestly really hope somebody beats me with this. I think I would learn a lot from that.
The last upgrade card fully spoiled in this article is a returning favorite from the first edition of the game, the Rigged Cargo Chute Illicit.
Yeah, so this looks to function basically the same as it did in first edition. Rigged Cargo Chute has one charge and reads, action, spend one charge to drop one loose cargo using the one forward template. And this can only be equipped on medium or large ships.
Yeah, so we see it functioning very similarly to how it did in the first edition of the game. My big question right away is the developers have said that they're trying to limit the amount of control effects or multiple stress dealing effects in the second edition of the game. I'm curious as to how this card's going to work with the new rule set if you drop this directly on a ship. Is this going to be one of the options you have if you're trying to go for a stress control mechanic?
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly how it will work, but, you know, just from a flavors perspective, I think, you know, especially on these smuggling ships, being able to drop some extra cargo, I think that's really cool. And I think the gameplay captures it pretty well, creating a debris field.
So those are the upgrade cards we know that have been spoiled for this article. There are a bunch more, it looks like, coming in this expansion. We still got to learn a lot about how the escape craft and the docking mechanics work with Lando's Falcon. And we also see that there's a Chewbacca crew card, gunnery card on there, as well as the new character Kira. She's got an upgrade card as well. It'll be interesting to see. Hopefully we'll get some more spoilers about the ship in anticipation of its launch in September with the rest of second edition X-Wing, where we can learn more about all the cool stuff coming along.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of time from now till September, and I think we still have a lot more to learn. Yeah, hopefully eventually we can have Fantasy Flight shed some light on how Han Solo could have a threat level of 5 on this 2-attack dice ship, which seems perplexing now, but hopefully it's awesome.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Radio TCX. If you like the show, please go on to Facebook.com and like our Facebook page.
You can follow us on Twitter at Radio TCX Podcast.
And if you really enjoy the show, please go on to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review along with a comment saying what you like about the podcast and why other people might be interested in listening.
And if you want to support the show directly, please consider going on to patreon.com/radiotcx and becoming a supporter of the show today. It really means a lot to us.
Again, guys, thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.